everyone. Welcome to the Racing Writers Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Crandall. I've got a fun episode for you today, so thanks for clicking and listening along. Max Pappas is my guest. Max is a very busy man, so I appreciate him taking some time to give me 30 minutes today to chat about a few things he's got going on in his busy life. And we're going to start by learning what it means to be an IndyCar steward. Max chatted with me as he was finding some time and some space at the rear of the IndyCar hauler a few weeks ago at Long Beach ahead of their finale. And I honestly wanted to know what it meant to be an IndyCar steward, so we start our conversation with that. And then we move into what Max does as a performance advisor for William Byron. Max has been working with William for about 8 years now. You can see him at the racetrack, either decked out in Liberty gear or Exalta gear or number 24 gear. So Max takes us inside what he has seen in William over the last couple years and what he's trying to help the young driver do in his Cup Series career. From there, we're going to go into getting an update on MPI. MPI is Max Pappas Innovations. Max and I actually caught up and talked about that a few years ago, but I wanted to get it here on the podcast for those who might have missed that. Max started that company in 2009. It started out as a way to make better steering wheels to help drivers in crashes. That's just another component of the race car that could be safer. And it has expanded now to where Max is not only providing steering wheels for, I think just about everybody in NASCAR, but he is branching out. And you're going to hear him talk about being involved in other asphalt racing as well as dirt racing. You're going to recognize some of the names that he mentions there. And we go into just what the process is of getting feedback and data on steering wheels when they are involved in accidents and how he is continually trying to find ways to make that safer, as well as, I said expanding, well, he's also expanding into other products through MPI, so you're going to hear all about that. And lastly, we talk about the facts that Max makes very clear that he is not retired from racing. Max was actually supposed to compete a couple months ago in the Xfinity Series race in Indianapolis, but unfortunately tested positive for COVID, so he did not get to do that. But Max will explain all about how he will never give up trying to get behind the wheel, and that includes, once again, in NASCAR. So a lot of great stuff with Max. We only had about 30 minutes, but I feel like I really utilized my time with him to, again, basically just catch up on everything that's going on in his life. So I hope you enjoy it. Here is Max Pappas on the Racing Writers Podcast. First off, Max, because you are in Long Beach, let me ask whatever you can share with us about what goes into your responsibilities as an IndyCar steward. You've been doing it for a few years now. So what can you just share with myself and the listeners about what that means? What do you do?
First of all, it's good to be here with you guys. My job together with Ari Leyendijk, it's obviously on paper is called race steward. So what it means is applying the on-track rules during practice, qualifying, and the race. But we do a lot more than that. We pride ourselves to be educator. During the race weekend, we spend a lot of time with race car drivers and teams talking about new rules or like the way that the rule is interpreted for the track. So I like to look at my position not as a position of a policeman, but more of an educator for the sport. And at the end, obviously, when it comes down to race control and race and qualifying, I always say, I didn't do the infraction. The other guys did it. My job is implementing it. But most of all, the things I really love about what Ari and I have been doing with Jay Fry and all the team here in IndyCar is that we change the perception of the sport. And I really feel that, we created now IndyCar and our competitor, we look each other in the eyes. There is no IndyCar and the competitor looking down. And I think that's a huge accomplishment. We keep trying to improve it. And I'm really proud to see that that reflects on overall way how IndyCar is perceived, from the race fans. And here in Long Beach is the last race of the season. Huge excitement, people walking around. So I'm proud to be a small part of it.
Yeah. You accepted the position in 2016, I believe. What was it that drew you to that? Why did you want to do this?
Jay Fry. I know Jay for a long time. He was the only reason. like I knew that he was going to do something special for the sport. I was very disappointed how the sport, you know, was up to before, you know, like if Jay Fry would have not been making that call, I don't think I would have considered it. But I knew that he was going to change the sport for the better. And I knew that I could have a partner that we could grow the sport together and I could have contributed. So when he asked me about if I was interested, you know, and he told me that I was going to report directly to him, it was an easy choice.
Yeah. Well, Max, I want to switch into some of the bigger topics that I want to talk to you about today. And first off, I think it's been about 8 years now that you've worked with William Byron. Is that correct? Does that sound right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I met William in my office the first time. He was 15 and a half.
My goodness. And I know that you prefer the term performance advisor, so I won't call you a coach. So in this time with him, what can you say you've seen from him from when you first started to now these 8 years later, him going from a teenager to a Cup Series winner?
First of all, Kelly, let me explain you a little bit what I do with William. And why I call myself performance advisor. Coach is not the correct word because you cannot coach speed. You know, what I do, I can share. My job is making William Byron the best William Byron he can be. And doing it in a lot of different way behind the scene. What I seen with William after the first time we met and we went to the go-kart track together, I saw a guy that had a tremendous God gift. And I saw great attitude, great will to learn. He wanted to get better. He just didn't know how, but he had this God gift. And I felt that we just started saying, hey, William, let me see if I can give you a hand. Let me see what I can do. I remember going to Bristol to his first late model race. And we built a relationship that goes way beyond the sport. I'm proud to see his growth and maturity as a human being. And if you look at the number, what William is doing at his age, with a little bit more than 100 races under his belt in Cup, versus the 380 of Kyle Busch, the 260 of his teammate Chase Elliott, you know, you look at this number and it's remarkable. You know, it's remarkable. And what I pride myself is that I've been helping him to close that gap of age experience where you only know what you know. And I introduced him to all my, you know, without saying too much, you know, like with all my training regime, physically, mentally, we instituted a lot of processes. And the results that you see William doing is not by chance. It's a lot of work, even just in a simple way. Right before the Bristol race, we had a very quick conversation and we say, let's trust the process. Let's trust what we have done so far. Trust in your God gift. You know, go out there, execute. And if everything lines up, we might surprise ourselves. And that what happened. So it's just a joy to work with him. Because I would have never imagined as a pro race car driver as I've been that I could have had that joy to see someone else being successful. But with William, he's very unique. And I'm not really sure if it's ever going to be replicable. So it's something I always say, it's my project. We have a goal to be Cup champion and we're not very far.
I want to touch a little bit more on what you just said about when you see him succeed and the feeling that brings you. Of how different is that when for so long, when you were a driver, you're worried about yourself and you want to be successful to now being able to find that joy in helping someone else reach their goals. And certainly now that he's won races at the Cup level, the feeling that must be just again for you and how different that is.
It's in life, you go from taking to giving. And I grew up taking because that's how you gotta be being a race car driver. And the giving, I had to learn how. You know, I've always been able to give in my life as a human, but not in racing. you know, the match that you see, the person who loves his life and everything, is very, very, very different than the match that sits in the car. It's almost opposite. And I had, you know, to apply a little bit of who I am as a human being into the racing, guiding William, and as well, and the fact that you can control only what you can. And if I see him hitting the wall at 40 or 50, I let him do it. If I am 100% sure he's going to hit it at 200, I take the steering wheel and I steer. So that's kind of how me and him we talk.
I've seen you at the racetrack, obviously, in Hendrick gear and Exalted gear. They're watching him. Are you looking for anything in particular when you're at the racetrack, or is it more you being there for support?
No, William does not need moral support. We don't need any moral support. When I'm at the track, I'm data gathering. We have you know, very precise process in place. You know, we know data gathering in terms of, it's like data acquisition. Understand how the relationship with this crew chief is, you know, communication, trying to contribute in all those areas that can make a great race car driver become a champion. That is how you communicate during the race. How is the message that you want to send across being perceived by the others on the other side? Is the other side, you know, for example, I know Rudy Fugel that has been working with William since the track days. Actually, we worked together at Germain before he even went to KBM. So I'm humbly trying to use everything that I learned and being a soundboard, you know, where if you see me at the track, I always have a notepad, literally write down stuff and getting information, analyzing. I always say like this: we gather the information in the weekend, we analyze them on Monday, we apply them on Tuesday, we move on Wednesday.
I like it. Very nice. One last thing on this topic. I know that you and William just spent some time recently with Jeff Gluck at the go-kart track, and William spoke a lot about how he uses that as a tool. From your perspective, Max, can you explain for fans why go-karting makes a difference, or why it is a tool for drivers, and the way maybe it translates to NASCAR racing?
Well, it's quite simple. Think about being a basketball athlete and not being able to practice or do anything, and the only time that you can do your sport is sitting an NBA game, go in there and deliver. That's basically what William has to do nowadays, NASCAR. You don't get to practice. You don't get to even sit in your own race car until race day. And you roll out in pit lane, green flag, go. We developed a lot of tools. Karting is one of them, in order to improve your skills in a way that is financially efficient and repeatable. And again, you know, when the race fans need to understand, you know, the karts that we use, power to weight ratios is equivalent to an IndyCar. I mean, they are professional karts. You about 100, you know, 90, 100 miles per hour. Lateral G's is very similar to you pull 3 G's, you know, 2 G's. So it's a lot of, there is a physical aspect of it, but at the same time, there is a mental aspect. And one of the things that I do, you know, without going too much in details, because we don't like to share all our, everything we built, is that, yeah, I go out on track with William. My background is that, you know, I'm still competitive. I race go-kart myself, you know, to keep my competitive spirit going during the year. And we practice a lot of things, a lot of the notes that we take during the weekend, overtaking, like a lot of things. It's not just a pure physical exercise. It's one of the best way to prepare yourself and practice certain things without the pressure of the race, but with similar pressure, because it's a pressure that we put on ourselves.
I wanted to catch up also, Max, and switch gears here, because I wanted to see just how is MPI doing? You and I spoke a couple years ago a little bit about it, so I wanted to get an update. How's the business going?
I mean, Kelly, thanks for asking. And the best way that I can tell everyone out there is that dreams are possible. I started MPI from my garage, literally from my garage, building a 20 steering wheel for me, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Jr., the guys in HMS. And now it's a business. You know, we produce over 15,000 steering wheel a year. We just signed a contract that we are the V8 supercar official steering wheel for the next 5 years. We did an amazing project with Audi for the new RS3 LMS. I mean, 14 times NASCAR champion, 2 times IndyCar champion, 10 times World of Outlaw. And I took what was already in the market. And the reason of the existence of MPI was all about improving safety, improving ergonomics, and providing to the racing community a better tool. And, you know, obviously I have the experience how to do it, you know, but at the same time, you know, I reached out to all the guys, Scott Dixon, Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, and we made a tool that is the direct connection between the driver and the car better. Vibration absorbance. If you are in a crash, the steering wheel will deform with about 400 pounds of load trying to protect you. There are a lot of things I've done that created the success of MPI. And that's why I said, you know, it's a dream coming through. And I feel that I can truly tell everyone out there that if you know what you're talking about and you're willing to put a lot of effort, things can happen. You know, look at me. Like, I'm born 600 people village. I've been able to have tremendous success in racing. Even just being called to be the race steward for IndyCar. I mean, like, this is like, it's a dream to be able to be part of the sport. MPI, same thing, William Byron. Where in the world you have a guy with my accent even being accepted in NASCAR? And I think that, as I always say, America is a special country because people have been able to read between the lines. And I'm very proud that I've been able to be accepted and make a little difference in the sport in many different areas.
Yeah. So you said there that MPI is now the official steering wheel for V8 supercar cars. That's wonderful. Congratulations. So does that mean that you've had some success in branching out into other asphalt and even dirt racing at all to get some of those series and those drivers to use the wheels?
Absolutely. You know, we have a very simple philosophy in MPI is entering at the top. Dirt racing, my first ambassador was Donnie Schatz. I met him. He had some needs, a couple of years of R&D and development. And, you know, we developed one of the best steering wheel in the dirt market. Now we're market leader on that department. Same things in the off-road. Same things in a V8 supercar. Penske, DJR team Penske, they wanted a innovative product. I worked with them. The series saw what our capability as MPI are and engineering, designing. And because of that, we won the bid over people and over companies that they have tremendous history because they knew that we can deliver. And as I said to you now, we started from the garage. Now, you know, it's about 8 to 10 people company. We produce over 15,000 steering wheel. We go from the NASCAR to the marine industry. If people are out there on the lake or wakeboarding, the Mastercraft units, you know, in the Mastercraft boat are produced by us. So I keep at it. I use the same approach that I had in racing. You know, like people would have never dreamt that a kid from a 600 people village would have been able to go and win Daytona 24 hour. And I put my elbow out and I made things happen. And obviously with a God gift that I have. So I'm beyond grateful, you know, but I take the opportunity and I do the best I can with it.
Do you routinely check in with drivers, Max, who use the steering wheels after crashes to see if, A, what they thought, and if the steering wheel, of course, did its job?
Absolutely. Actually, what we do, we have a very clear process on what's happening. Every time you have a very important crash, you know, with over 10 G impact, we get the product back, you know, from the NASCAR team or any team that we work with. We have a test bench. You know, we test the product, we analyze it, we send feedback back to the driver and the teams. So it's there is a technology and a process, you know, that we developed in the last 11 years that we apply in everything we do. And that allows us to build better product for the everyday guy, you know, for the everyday usage, like the side-by-side usage all the technology that we have comes from NASCAR, IndyCar knowledge, working with the sport. And actually being the IndyCar steward as well has been helping me because I learned to work with the sanctioning body. You know, like when you're a competitor, you don't really like the sanctioning body because, you know, they are the guys that they tell you what to do. And I've been trying to break the mold being the steward, and I've been trying to break the mold with MPI too, you know, where instead of working against, you know, you work with the sanctioning body. And so far, John Patelec in NASCAR, Terry Trammell, and the guys here in IndyCar, they've been, I mean, honestly, without their support, their knowledge, we would not be able to create the safety and the ergonomics that they're building our product. So I think that, I guess that we have the humbleness to ask questions, I guess.
Right. I have a few more questions, Max. I was looking around the MPI website, and it looks like folks can also use the steering wheels on sim rigs now. Is that correct?
Listen, I did it because I sucked so bad at sim. I mean, obviously, William is one of the best in the world. So I've been trying to compete with him, and I looked like more than an amateur. So because of that, I went to work. I sat on the sim hours and hours after the kids go to sleep. When I get the, I don't want to say the permission, but like basically when the family time is over, and I developed the new MPI product. So what you will see in the near future is every single unit that's been successful in racing will have the equivalent in sim racing, you know, in a line that we call Sim Max. And it's not just going to be the outer product, the pure unit, but we will go and replicate even the electronics of what Scott Dixon is using, the V8 supercar, because I really believe, in my opinion, sim racing is very similar to what go-kart racing was when I started. It's the first step to be able to see if you have the God gift. And I want to be able to provide all the kids out there, like I was, a platform to dream and do it with real things. You know, like being able to have the same wheel that Scott Dixon has or Donnie Schatz has or Kevin Harvick. And again, you know, I have a lot of things that we're working on, but everything starts from, keeping the dream alive and bringing new fans to the sport.
Yeah. Well, you said there about there's a lot you're working on. And again, looking around the website, it looks like you're also getting into doing other accessories through MPI, not just steering wheels, right?
Listen, my wife calls me mad scientist. And we literally started from, we had two models, 15-inch and 14-inch, in two different dimensions, two different grip levels. We have 98 different products. We have the same chassis nowadays we develop. We are doing seats. But everything is innovative. You know, like what's behind the MPI product is everything that I try to put my hand on, if it's the material, if it's the ergonomics, safety, we just don't do something to do it. We do something to make it better. And I pride myself a lot with we have two engineers. We have, you know, just for you to understand as well, we have a full production capability in Italy. So like what we do it. You know, like there is a factory in Italy that we have cutting machines, a CNC machining, injection. So we do it. And the pride of it is that we control the production of our products, and we are able to provide a unique, innovative safety product to the public. So, as I said, you know, the sky is the infinite. It's just that we are humbly, as my wife always teach me, tell me, we let the things organically grow, and we try to provide what the sport needs.
One last question, Max, and it's a racing-related question in the sense of you were scheduled to get back behind the wheel in NASCAR at Indianapolis, and unfortunately tested positive for COVID. I'm glad, first off, to see that you're doing well. But would you still like to make another NASCAR start somewhere down the road? I know you've said that you'd like to race in front of your kids now that they're older. So is that still the goal, to maybe get back behind the wheel one day?
Kelly, I will never retire. I race nowadays with my go-kart at the national level because the day you stop feeding your competitive spirit, you're going to stop living. That's what I do. And this opportunity came about with Rick Ware. I need to tell you how it came about. I was walking in the pit lane in Nashville. I was going to race control. Rick asked me if my nephew was around because he had an opportunity for him to race Xfinity the week after. I told him he was in Brazil. And he asked me, are you available? I said, yes. So I believe that we will have another opportunity with REC in the future. Again, you know, racing is my life, is my sport, is what I love to do. I look at it with slightly different eyes than when I race full time, where I have less expectation. It's not my job anymore, but it's my love. So, you know, the answer is yes. You will see me again driving besides with the go-kart that I race every year.
Yeah, sounds good. That's awesome. Well, Max, I know you're very busy. I'm glad we finally made this happen. Thank you so much for the time today. And good luck. I hope you all have a great finale out there in Long Beach.
Thank you. And I want to say thank you to all the fans listening to the podcast and everything. It's without their support, my dream would have never come through. And Long Beach was my first ever IndyCar event that I attended in 1996, watching Jimmy Vassar winning the race. And all the love that everyone showed through my career, it's something that is stored inside of me. And it gives me the energy to as well do these things that sometimes are unheard, but I feel that I have that energy inside to still deliver. So both on the track, both as an IndyCar steward, performance advisor of William Byron, president of MPI. And I wait to see when the juice is going to slow down a bit, because so far it's pretty good.
Sounds good. Thank you, Max. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kelly. Good day.
All right, there you have it. My thanks again to Max for coming on the podcast and really for just being very open and honest and always willing to chat when I come to him for something. Again, you heard me mention that Max and I had chatted, I think it was a year or two now, probably 2 years now, about his work with William Byron, and I did an in-depth feature piece on that for racer.com. So if you go dig around, you can find that. If you ask me, maybe I can help you get the link for that. So reach out to me on social media if you're curious about that story, and I will do my best to go and pull it up for you. So again, thanks again to Max for coming on the podcast and being a lot of fun to talk to. He's always a great guy to engage with. Thank you for clicking and listening along. As I said at the top of the show, please leave a rating and review if you haven't done so already or want to leave another one. I hope it's 5 stars. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you go back through the archive. Check out all the episodes you might have missed recently. We've been having some great conversations. We've had some great guests. Really feel like I've put together some awesome guest lineup these last couple months, really this whole year. Really proud of how the podcast has come along. So again, make sure you leave a rating and review. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't done that. And of course, you can also let me know what you think through social media. On Twitter, my handle is @KellyCrandall. You can also find my name straight through Instagram by doing that, as well as on Facebook. It is the same across every platform, so it's not hard to find me. Please let me know what you think. Before I let you go this week, of course, let me remind you about Patreon. That is www.patreon.com/KellyCrandall. You can find that link in the show description of this episode, as well as on social media. It's another great way for you to support the podcast and support me if you are willing to do that. And I explain the reason why I moved to Patreon. When you go check out the homepage, it is right there, an explanation of what I'm hoping to accomplish and why every little bit helps. So I appreciate anybody who is already on Patreon. All of the patrons have been so great, so awesome. If you want to sign up and be one of those, please do. Again, every little bit helps, and I appreciate everybody not only just supporting this podcast and listening each week, but if you have signed up. So go check that out if you haven't already. One last thing before we go, let me get you ready for next week. We're going to shift and talk to an Xfinity Series driver, and that is Ryan Vargas. I have to tell you that I was so impressed and so happy with how that conversation turned out. Ryan gave me a great chunk of time to dig into not just his career, but the way in which he is hands-on with his career and how he's more than just a driver, but he's his own social media person, his own marketing person, his own PR person, and really trying to make every opportunity count. So we're going to go behind the scenes and how he makes it all work and how he's trying to get people's attention on and off the racetrack. Really excited to share that with you next week. So I will see you then right here on the Racing Writers Podcast.